It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Mike Goolsby. We're live on the YouTube channel here at Blue and Gold talking Notre Dame's blue gold game. The blue team that had some collection of players beat the gold team that had the other collection of players. I don't really remember, but I know I was entertained, Mike, and there were definitely some standout players, and we are going to talk about it in today's show. Folks, please hit the thumbs up on this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. Lots to discuss with former Notre Dame linebacker and captain Mike Goolsby. Mike, doing well, brother? You were in town as well, which we'll talk about in a second, but you doing good, bro?
I'm doing great. I'm still reeling from that weekend, Mike. It was a lot, but in a good way. So the whole thing was kind of a blur. Thursday night, got to have dinner and meet, you know, my Patreon partner, John. So had a couple pops Thursday night. Drove into town, picked a teammate up in Chicago. Drove into town, had, it's gotten better and better. I've done it twice now, two of the 3 years. But they have like a dinner for current players, Mike, with former players. And it's a networking thing. Think 40 for 40, all of this. They've got the kids broken up into different tables, industries they want to pursue. So me, dude, I love that stuff because you get to kind of stand next to these kids if we've always talked about it. So I've got notes on that we'll hopefully get to. And then right after that, it's cocktail hour with all the former players. It's just everybody having a couple pops. So I got to meet Michael Stonebreaker, took a picture with him. That was a big deal for me. Coach Holtz was there. And just bar trivia for anybody out there. The last captain, the last game that Lou Holtz ever coached, your boy was the captain when we went over there to play in Japan. So, you know, he was gracious enough to give me some time. And then, dude, at the end of this cocktail hour, all the assistant coaches roll through. So was really fortunate enough to spend time with most of those guys, too. And to try to not be annoying, but I was like, man, I got to ask you some questions. And then from there, you go to the game. Had a big tailgate with John's crowd, the Patreon crowd, and that was overwhelming in the best way possible. Slightly hungover from the night before, so it's just kind of getting smacked in the face, trying to give everybody their time. I didn't get into the game, Mike. They had given us, like, credentials, you know, former players that kind of gave you access, so I left it in the hotel room. So then I had to go watch the game at a bar and obviously watched it back on Peacock since, and then drove home. So we're here, but an awesome weekend. And I can't wait to kind of make this an annual thing going forward.
You didn't get to watch the game inside the stadium?
Oh, dude, the God bless them. But you know, the support staff, they take their job very seriously. And I wasn't going to try to big time anybody, but I was just like, hey, it's my fault. I forgot my credentials and they wouldn't let me in. I was like, but if I was Joe Montana, would they have turned Joe Montana away without those credentials? you know what I mean?
But you're freaking Mike Goolsby.
Oh, it doesn't matter. So like I said, and then I just walked back to the football facility to try and just lift some random credential that was maybe on a table. It's not like they were checking IDs, but it was all good, man. It was all good. I was happy to watch it at the bar.
Good deal, man. So people are asking, who was at your table? Like, which players did you get to interact with? Who did you get to size up?
Well, so there was a couple different sales, and I'm in sales. There's a couple different sales tables. I spent a little bit of time. It was like the whole tight ends group wanted to be in sales, apparently. And then behind me, there was the other table, which is nondescript. They don't know what field they want to go to. But looking at the players at the table, I was like, oh, and I was kidding with them. I'm like, oh, this is the NFL group. So like Benjamin Morrison was at that table. I was like, oh, this is the NFL group. Who, by the way, you've heard me use the phrase like sweetheart. Benjamin Morrison, oh, sweetheart. My God. I'm sure you've interviewed him.
Yeah.
What a kid. So, but no, I could go through the list of guys. I mean, talk to Sean Sevillano, big fan
your
of his.
Boy.
Dude, talk to Riley Mills, talk to Jagasaw, talk to KVA, talk to Riley Leonard. They'll come to me. And then there's other people that I just was kind of just trying to eyeball and like, man, that guy really, you know, kind of checks a lot of boxes. Rode up in the elevator with Preston Zinner.
And nice.
I cannot stress enough, Singer, and you know this better than anybody. These kids, young men, they just blow your mind.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like their level of professional and professionalism and how they, I mean, they're more professional than me, how they engage with you, like the back and forth. And the Sean Sevillano thing, I was like, buddy, how's it going, man? Big fan of yours. And he goes, this is exactly what I was told it was going to be in terms of his experience at Notre Dame. And I thought that was a pretty intelligent answer. He's like, this is exactly what I anticipated it would be.
That's good.
Kind of pitched it to me. So, yeah. Hmm.
Does anyone there, player, staff, just be like, hey, I watch your show, Mike. I hear you talking about me.
That was a concern of mine, you know, like, oh, shoot.
Who have I criticized or anything like that?
I'm just glad like Drew Pine wasn't in the building or anything like
or
that.
Or Hart. I was saying this in a show last week with Tim. I was like, Goolsby and Hartman getting a picture of the spring game. Because I figured Hartman would have been there. That would have broke the internet. If you'd have just tweeted that out with no context, just that would have broke the internet. But I guess wasn't there.
No, but that was kind of my intro, because having been in this for what, 4 years now, Singer?
Yeah, 4 years.
It's like, I know who all of them are. And as you can imagine, most football alums probably aren't as dialed in as me,
right?
And why would they be? They got better stuff to do. But like, I would just walk up to them and just be like, what's up, Sean? You know, like, hey, I'm Mike Goolsby. I was a captain in 04. I do a big YouTube show. So I was like, I'm super familiar. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like half of them are like, oh, yeah. So I don't know if they watch or if they're just being kind or whatever.
Yeah. Name drop Mike Singer. And then everyone says, oh, yeah, love Singer.
I didn't think to do that.
You know, it's okay. I got some street cred around there.
That would have been useful. But again, you're not trying to. So you're just trying to give them a little elevator pitch just to be like, hey, I'll be 42 in September. This is what I wish I had known at your age.
Sure.
And then just, you know, get into a little bit of football stuff without trying to pry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the meeting with the coaches, you know, Den Brock obviously was there the first time. His first go around was when I was a, you know, player captain there. So we gave each other a big hug. And dude, I cornered him for like 30 minutes. I was like, man, I don't want to be this guy. He's like, fire away. He's like, fire away. And then Coach Golden, I got to talk to him. And he had actually remembered me because he recruited me to Boston College in another lifetime, right? I got to talk to Max Bulla. I was like, oh, dude, we're going over reads and stuff. It was so much fun. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I still got a buzz from that weekend. Talked to Coach McCullough for a little bit. You know, and you, like they throw it around like, oh, McCullough could be a head coach. And it's like talking to him in the flesh. It's like, absolutely, you can see why.
Yeah. So what's this buzz from the weekend? Is this what kind of buzz are we talking, Mike?
Well, I probably drank, as Tim would say, you know, I drank 178 vodka tonics, you know. So there's probably a little bit of – I need to hit the sauna to get rid of that buzz. But no, just the energy of the weekend. Yeah, yeah. The game was fun. I mean, the sun was out. It was a little cold. But just, you know, as this – platform kind of continues to build, whether it's this or the Patreon, and I got to do a couple spots on ABC News, so it's just like, man, what a
Mike Singer, to watch that.
Drag me into this, dude. You dragged me into this begrudgingly 3 years ago, and I can't thank you enough, and it's just been a ton of fun.
Well, I'm glad we're still doing it.
Yeah, dude,
all this time later. Yeah, talking about Thomas Fedoni and then starting the show with me, you, and the the late great Lou Samoji, and
up in my treehouse.
Yeah, the treehouse.
Or a tiny house, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. With your neighbors at lawn who would pop in the show and talk about how good his yard looked. Oh yeah, good times.
Yeah. So it was I don't know where you want to start, but I just got some notes.
Dude, let's fire away.
Okay.
Just shoot. I'll give some thoughts. Let's just go through it all. What do you think?
So we will obviously get to quarterbacks, but I just cannot spend the next 4 months talking about, you know, backup quarterbacks. So we'll get there. But I was watching Riley move around the room at that dinner, and I'm going to combine that with like his on the field, kind of trying to get those mental reps on the field. And then also the last thought was like, he did a sideline interview, and part of me has quite a bit of empathy for Riley Leonard in that I think he wants to lead. I think the team Freeman's identity really seems like it's been fully established in terms of like the style of play. And Riley wants to do more and he can't, but like, I just feel like he's incredibly sincere. And I've gone back and forth in terms of like what I think of Riley Leonard, but watching him move around that room, like he seemed a little bit uneasy because he can't quite fully sing or be the quarterback of the team yet. And then I'm watching on the sideline interview and he's like, I'm trying to show my team that I'm literally doing everything I can to get back out there. So like, I'm on the Riley Leonard, I'm in the fan club now. Right. So like, yeah. And again, watching him move around the room, it's hard to describe, but he just seemed uneasy.
Uneasy in terms of mentally or like physically?
I'm just saying in terms of like, put it this way. Like if somebody's going to, and this is, I'm a big energy guy.
Okay.
So like if I look at the way Charles Jagasaw walks around and I look at the way Tosh Baker walks around, two separate energies, and that Jagasaw like owns his space. And I just feel like that Riley was a little unsure in that scenario because he just got plopped in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's a transplant, a high dollar transplant that can't do anything.
Yeah.
And he's trying to mix it up and he's trying to do his best.
Yeah.
And I do think he's 100% sincere. And that was my opening kind of just observation from the weekend and like the team dynamic and stuff. I think that Riley Leonard is going to follow this team more so than like the team followed Sam Hartman. Does that make sense?
Sure.
In terms of like the hierarchy, I think it's like Riley Leonard's going to kind of fall in line. Whereas last year, the team's a little bit younger, you know, and they kind of glom on to Sam's leadership or whatever. I think this year it's going to be counter to that, and that Riley Leonard's going to fall in line. And it's also a testament to like the culture that Freeman has built. Right. And I really thought you could see that culture on display in terms of like the way the spring game was played and kids starting to kind of let them hang. Like you and I've always been asking for, it's just like go make plays, let them hang.
Yeah.
That feels palpable to me. Go ahead, Mike.
It seemed like one of the cleaner spring games that you can expect. Like it wasn't lopsided, dominant. Like last year, you remember Sam Hartman to Jaden Greathouse 15 times. Like it was good back and forth. Or I don't think there was, I mean, maybe the offensive line struggled, but you would expect the offensive line to struggle when it's mismatched group against a pretty strong D line. Like that didn't surprise me, but like everywhere else, it seemed like just the guys just competed, looked pretty good. I mean, you had some, you had Chris Mitchell roasting, torching a walk-on, like, some of the walk-ons are just put in tough spots, but like, I thought overall, Mike, it was pretty well played by both sides of the ball. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the glaring, I guess the black eye would be the O-line play, and you and I have talked about that, like, at this juncture, like start of spring, midway through spring, you weren't really worried about it. I'm still not. I've always said I still think this whole thing is a work in progress in terms of who's playing what position, what have you. But outside of the O-line, which looks questionable at times, and that's fair, there's a lot of bright spots, man. There's a lot of bright spots. And it's like, you know, before you and I went on air, like that D-line, but the combination of Oben, I got to talk to Oben at the dinner. We talked about his first step. I'm like, brother, you got to get that first step. Like, as long as he is, he has like a 38-inch inseam. Like, he's all legs. Like, that first step between, dude, between Traore and Oben, and then you got Cross Mills, like, I mean, it's like elite, elite. And then all the backups are hungry and they flash. You know, you got Botello out there, but that pass rush is really something.
I really want to know your thoughts about Boubacar Traore, because, you know, I'm super high on him, and have been since he signed, really.
Yeah.
What'd you see from him?
I'll give you credit on that one. Yeah, you were way ahead of the trend there. I can't recall if I saw him at the dinner, but dude, every time I see him, it's just like, gosh, look at how long his arms are. I mean, he can scratch his knee without bending over. And he looks a little thicker this year. Like, his bottom half looks a little thicker. But yeah, freak, man. Freak. And all, I mean, Coach Washington, who takes heat for some reason, you know, people have their eyes on Coach Washington.
Ooh, Cook Goolsby.
Well, I'm just saying that people are critical of Coach Washington for some reason, like his recruiting and this and that. And I'm like, he's been here a couple years, give it time. But you could tell that pass rushing like acumen in terms of having moves and counter moves, the get off, it looks remarkable. And then I'm also thinking Golden's scheme is kind of morphed year to year to year. You're losing Bertrand and Maris. Talk to Golden about Maris, by the way, Singer.
Oh, gosh. You can't say that and not go into it. But
sidebar, I was like, I don't want to sound disrespectful, Coach, but I'm like, were you teaching Maris to, like, run into those blockers and, like, you know, be a magnet? I was like, could you elaborate? And he goes, well, Mike, Maris likes to run into stuff. That was his response. So he's like, well, Mike, he likes to run into stuff. I'm like, yeah, he's a very violent player. He's like, he is. So, but I had to get that out. But I'm just sitting there thinking, you got to replace some experience at linebacker. Golden has very complex schemes, can pull all kinds of rabbits out of all kinds of different hats. And it's like, if you have that front four and all their backups, it might make this younger linebacker crop. It's like, we might not need to add as much to the defensive scheme. I can eliminate a lot of these dozens of pressures that maybe a Bertrand and Marist had a really good understanding of.
Yeah. Okay. Anye, chat's asking about Anye.
Looks great.
Another standout.
Looks great. He's another one of those kids that, like, physically, in person, he stands out a lot, and he's definitely gotten bigger. And I'm a member of, like, the big head club. Like, I have a big head. Anye has a massive head, and I'm like, if he can, he still has room to grow. Like, he could be a 310-pound kid another year from now for sure. But yeah, I don't think you're really going to skip a beat in terms of Riley Mills, Howard Cross, Jason Onye. Talk to Riley Mills, and I'm like, oh, dude, you lost weight. And he's like, yeah, I lost 10 pounds. I'm like, perfect. You know, it's another theme. This is just, again, me spitballing. Sorry, dude. Watching that game, you could say what you want about all these, like, soft tissue things with Coach Landau and that, but the team definitely looks more fluid, more explosive, a little bit leaner too. I actually talked to Jaden Greathouse because he's moving a lot differently than he did last year. Like, did you switch up your training or something? He was like, no, man, I'm just basically more confident, and I'm like moving freer, and I'm not thinking as I'm running. I'm like, well, damn, dude. He was the first kid I talked to when I walked in there.
He's an impressive one too.
Yeah, man.
Okay. I have one more guy I want to ask you about, and then let's go back to your list. I don't think this might be one of my unpopular takes. Donovan Heinisch is not really going to be one of those guys that's going to light up a room, like, with physically, right? He's not some specimen. But I like him, Mike.
Yeah.
I feel like he's just like his brother, man. He's just a solid, stout player who just always seems to be around the ball. You know, like when the play happens and then you have that like alternate shot come in, you know, like a close up angle. Hynish just always stand right there next to that running back or whatever it is. Like, he's, I don't know, Mike. I like Hynish. What do you think about him?
You know what? He has grown on me. Like this, you know, the back third of last year, he's quick, dude. He's quick. Now, Tim and I like to text about, you know, that we are still lacking those 320-pound just monster.
Why you love Sean?
Yeah, and it's a hard position for Notre Dame to recruit in the way that like wide receiver is, but he's definitely grown on me. And then he also wears the right number. I don't want him to get too good so that like he takes over the 41 thing. This is the thing. Like Howard Cross is not a big person. Donovan Hynish is not a big person. Al Golden doesn't care nearly as much about run defense as he does like pass rush and all this. So, I'm a Hynish fan. Like I said, he grew on me at the back half of last year. I'm a bigger fan of Sevilano personally. Yeah. I just really like that kid. But
all right, what else is on your notes?
I was just going to go over, I just wrote down dinner and here's like the folks that I talked to. If anybody had any additional chat questions or whatever, Benjamin Morrison, again, fell in love with the kid. We're talking about women. He wants to get married young. Like just what a sweet kid. And just wide eyed, dude. I would say that as talented as Benjamin Morrison is, he's still like naive. He still comes across as like a very young kid. And sometimes we forget that, you know, underneath that helmet, there's like still young people.
Yeah.
But awesome kid. Quentin Nelson was there for being like a future Hall of Famer. Bryant Young was there, Bryce Young's father. Had several beers with Bryant. And I was like, you think Quentin's a Hall of Famer? He's like, oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. So for being a future Hall of Fame guard, Quentin Nelson is the most like aw shucks dude you'll ever meet in your life. It's incredible. Jagasaw and Sullivan Abshire, probably the two physically most impressive. Like that's a big dude. Like I'm looking at Jagasaw standing next to Sam Pendleton, and it's like they look like two different species, you know, in terms of like their measurables. But what's his face? Pendleton's a big boy.
Yeah,
he's thick.
Yeah,
no neck.
No neck at all. I love this, Mike, because these are all kids I've seen in high school, and you get to see them now. Dude, Absher, speaking of aw shucks, like, that's Absher. And, yeah, when I first time I met him, I mean, I'm a big dude, you know, but he is massive. He's different. 6'7", 300-plus. Yeah.
You've got a room full of Division I football players, and there's, like, two or three where it's like, oh, they're like skyscrapers.
Yeah. Know?
And Tosh Baker is a big dude, but like I was saying earlier, and we'll see what happens on the right side. You know, Wagner looked great in the game.
He did.
And this isn't being critical. It's just an observation. Like watching Tosh play, I don't know if he's overwhelmed or whatever, but yeah, it's just, he doesn't ever look like comfortable or dominant or like hyper competitive. It just, he kind of blends in terms of his energy. It's just something I noticed. And then KVA, dude, I sought KVA out for Tim. And I'm a big guy and probably too big. Need to lose like 10 pounds coming out of too many IPAs this winter. But like KBA is looking at me eye to eye and he's broad. He's not deep chested yet. He's still just a kid. He's a baby, but long arms. And just when you want it to, again, I'm talking about energy and I don't want to sound like a hippie or something, but like KBA is dialed in, man.
Yeah.
And just in terms of like how he comes across and his level of intensity and humility, frankly, too. But that's about it as far as players from that dinner that kind of jumped out.
All right, what about Kingston in his spring game performance?
He's awesome, man. He's awesome. I'm just telling you, I'm sure he could be a a twitch quicker, like who doesn't want to get fast or whatever. But in terms of playing that position, Singer, somebody that's played that position, you can't do it a lot better.
Yeah.
You can't do it a lot better. Almost picked off Carr early in the game, you know, running a middle vertical seam, which is not an easy thing to do. He's just going to get better and better and better. So, yeah, he's just a tremendous. I think that whole linebacker group, you know, Kahana Kia looks great. He needs a different jersey number. 43 looks terrible on him. I don't know if that's too late to do that.
43?
Yeah, Kia's 43. I had to look it up. And it makes sense because he's just, newly added.
Yeah.
Re-added back to the team.
Yeah.
But all those kids, I mean, Preston Zinner was laying some wood. Looked like he got knocked out on a play, actually. There was just a straight run up the gut, and he stuck his head in there, and he was down for a half a count. But that linebacker group.
Yeah.
Sneed, obviously, he draws a lot of attention from the fans and such. And that kid just wants to run, Mike. He just wants to run. I still think he struggles to kind of sort things out that are coming to him, not too dissimilarly from how Marist played, whereas Marist just, I mean, any chance Sneed gets to open up and run, like he really relishes it. So he, again, continues to need work, but like he can move. Oh, I was asking some of the players about like the wide receiver room, like who's the fastest? You know, so got some feedback there. But one of the wide receivers, just out of the blue, he was like, well, Sneed's one of the top 10 fastest kids in the team. And I was like, okay, noted. I don't know. I'm bouncing all over the place. Sorry.
No, I like it. Try to clap back at someone in the YouTube chat talking crap about Taco Bell. It's a full-on fast food chat right now. So,
we got our priorities in order. That's all that matters.
I mean, I'm talking about someone's got to defend Raising Cane's. I will not do for this slander. But, all right, Mike, what else about the linebackers? Bowen, I want to go position by position, so we're on the linebackers.
Let's jump into the game, right? Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Right, I got the roster in front of me, so I don't miss anybody.
Bowen, Osberry, Kaiser.
Let me find my linebackers here. All right. Sneed talked about him. Osberry looks great, just small-ish.
Yeah.
And Sneed's still another one of those kids. His head doesn't fit his body. Like if he really commits to that nutrition thing and just to put on the extra 10 pounds, the room is there to carry that. Osberry, again, I've always said moves tremendously well. He's just a little bit on the small side, probably a little bit bigger in person than he presents in pads, which is counter to how you think. But I don't know what they're going to do with him. I did talk to Coach Bull. I'm like, we have so many of these tweener types. And there's, you know, the kid that I work with, Rezac, is kind of a tweener drop linebacker. What is he? And I was like, would we ever move to a 3-3-5? He's like, nope. But the personnel is there. So he's like, on one hand, probably not. But I see what you're seeing. He said the personnel is there to do it. Real quick, we didn't see Kaiser. Saw him in the flesh. Doesn't stand out physically.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Yeah. I mean, but I saw him at the dinner. Didn't speak to him. But doesn't stand out physically. And it's just like, I mean, if there was like a player coach role Singer, it's like Kaiser could be that. Like, we don't need him. You know, I think you need him to get him help kids get lined up. Like I said, maybe play Mike on passing downs, play Will on, you know, a mixed down. Zinter, super charismatic kid, hard hitter. He told me on the elevator he's playing like all the spots. So he's yet to get dialed in. KVA, couldn't be more impressed with the kid. Bowen's going to be a hard kid to take off the field just because he's got that like conventional, traditional Mike mindset in terms of how he lines up and plays.
Yeah.
But I just still believe that KVA just moves a little bit differently, man. But there's just so many good linebackers. Kahana Kiu comes out of left field, balling.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't have a bad thing to say. I mean, there's obviously still work to be done. But the level of energy that the kids played with and the movement skills and all this, it's just like it really jumps out at you. It's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're going to do with all of those bodies in that room when you're only going to play two. but I anticipate we'll probably see a rotation. Because half this stuff now is just keeping these kids happy, you know?
Yeah. We've also talked a good bit about the defensive line. Your thoughts on them? You talked about what Oben a little bit.
Yeah, let me just spin through it. Oben looks way better than he did at Duke. Like, again, first step, hand play, but it's really the first step on these guys. Like, pass rush is getting my hips as a pass rusher beyond your hips. And, like, the longer my first stride is, that my first step is, the better. So I'm not stepping underneath myself. Meanwhile, the tackle's climbing. And it's just across the board, especially you can really see it. It's more obvious at the edge, guys, but just moving really well, man. And Traore is like, kind of reminds me of like a Leonard Floyd, who was a first round pick out of like Florida a decade ago. He's bounced around the NFL, just body type wise. I don't give a shit how well he plays the run, by the way. Couldn't care less. Saw Logan Thomas, looks thicker than I thought. Talked to Botello. Botella's the quietest badass you'll ever meet, Singer. He is like quiet as a mouse. I thought Vernon looked good. I still think Vernon's probably going to need to like marinate for another year or so as he's continuing to kind of grow into his body. But you can see the length. We talked about Heinisch, Cole Mullins, high energy guy. Just going down the list. Talked about Anya. Really impressed with him. Interesting thought on Anya. Last spring, he was like a hype guy. You know, that was like the whole narrative. Like he was at practice bouncing around, talking smack, whatever. And it seems like he's kind of taken that next level. I didn't hear one report of him being a goofball at practice, whereas now he's kind of dialed in versus just being an energy guy. Go by air, I'm still really optimistic about. He looks good in the flesh. And I knew coming out of high school, he had a ton of pass rush moves for such a young kid.
Yeah.
Devin Houston looks good. Sevillano looks good. Didn't see Riley Mills, but yeah, I mean, between the linebackers and the D line, which has obviously been a strength of Freeman's recruiting, it's just like, dude, it's a embarrassment of riches, Singer.
Okay. Defensive backs, Mike.
Oh, let me just go.
No Ben. So you had what? I don't think about it. There's nothing really.
Christian really Gray looked great.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, I don't really have any thoughts on Ben Minich. You know, you're happy to see Talich out there. I do get worried about the lack of safety kind of depth. I do.
Yeah.
Only other thought is Adon Schuler is smaller in real life than he looks in pictures.
Dude, those pictures, he looks like a freaking $1 million.
He looks like a cyborg.
Yeah. So, yeah, Talik had the pick and the fumble recovery. Minich was flying around. I remember on one play, and I was like, who the hell is that? I was like, he does not look familiar. Ben Minich.
I think of the guy like Talich, it's like you're almost looking for – if you're putting together a roster, it's like you need – even like Heinisch, Mike, is an outlier because he's small and quick.
Yeah.
But like a Ben Minich to me isn't an outlier in a good way or a bad way. He's just kind of like a blend in guy to me versus like at least, well, Talich is like 6'4" out there.
Yeah, he's huge.
And I think he has that, the right wiring and the toughness and all that stuff. So like, you know, you just know that at some point in his career, Talich is going to become a starter. You just know it.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of that, I don't really have much to add. I mean,
yeah,
I thought Micah Bell looked pretty good for being a young kid.
I was pleasantly surprised with Micah Bell. I mean, he had some passes completed on him, but he competed. I thought he did all right.
I could forecast this year's defense scoring points. Talked about this on the Patreon a little bit. I mean, I'm talking about with that mixed bag of linebackers, and then all of these pass rushers, you've got the ability to play man-on-man, one-on-one coverage outside. It's like, man, we can really heat some quarterbacks up, like truly. And then you've got a Watts back there. I mean, it's very, very enticing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on the secondary, Mike?
No, sir.
Okay. Offensive line? Again, there's context of mismatch group.
Well, that's something, yeah, as we probably inevitably segue to the quarterback conversation, it's like, who had the better roster, blue or gold, Kenny or Steve? You know, CJ obviously bounced back and forth. It was like, well, Kenny had the better O-line on paper, and that he had Tosh and he had Jagasaw, for sure. And he had Ashton Craig as his center. But on the flip side of that, you know, Jagasaw is going up against Oben, and Baker's going against Traore. So it's like, granted, they're better. That O-line's better on paper, but they're going – I mean, Oben this time next year is going to be drafted in the NFL. So it's like you have a true sophomore in Jagasaw, who's technically your starter, going up against an NFL guy. So, there's some good things and some bad things. I was happy to see Wagner. As I said before, dude, if I'm Coach Rudolph, if I'm Denbrock, I tell Emil Wagner, it's like, buddy, you put on 10 pounds, you get to 301, you're our starter, brother. No questions asked. And just dangle that carrot. Talk to Jagasaw about guard versus tackle. I was like, would you ever slide in and play guard? He's like, I prefer playing tackle. I'm not going to get into the particulars. But as I said, just my thoughts, just my opinion. I still think that whole room is still a mixed bag. I think there's a lot to sort out who's playing where as you get into fall camp. But then just a lot of like, you know, I want to keep it positive, basically. I thought the room looks athletic-ish, and I'm being positive, but there is a lot of youth there as well. There's a lot of youth there.
Yeah.
Like on one play I saw.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Who is it? Oh, fill some air. I think it was Odding.
What?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. It was Anthony Knapp lined up at right tackle going against Ruben Oben.
Oh, RJ, yeah, that's tough.
RJ Oben. I'm like, dude, it's like he's only got 10 pounds on the guy. I mean, this guy, again, is going in the NFL, and this kid's still learning how to play the position. So yeah. I'm not taking a lot away from the offensive line play, other than I thought Emil Wagner looked good.
Okay. Spindler, any thoughts on Spindler?
He looks good in person. And again, he moves people in the run game. My big fear, though, with Rocco is just moving his feet against elite. And again, I always just can't help it, man, thinking about a playoff environment where we're lined up against an LSU, we're lined up against, you know, some of these NFL-type D linemen. I get worried about Rocco being able to mirror somebody with his foot speed. But it depends on what you're looking for. If I'm looking for a run blocker, him and Jagasaw love it, you know. But then flip the coin, and now we're talking about pass pro with those two, and it makes me a little leery.
You had put in the chat to remind you to discuss Mitchell Evans.
Yeah, I talked to Mitchell. Definitely an alpha. Definitely an alpha. You know, cool, kind of quiet confidence. He seems super optimistic. I think he said he's 5 months out from surgery. The reason I mentioned to ask me about Evans, I got a random phone call. The reason I asked about Evans was interviewed on the sidelines. He was asked about the offense replacing Blake Fisher, Joe Alt. And he was like, yeah, you know, we have our core group. You know, basically he meant interior O-lineman. And he's like, we've got guys to kind of backfill that role. And he did not mention Tosh Baker. If you go back and watch the replay, I think he mentioned Wagner. I think he even mentioned like Sullivan Abshire, but it just jumped out to me that, and maybe it was just a slip up. He forgot a name, but he didn't mention Tosh. He mentioned other dudes at tackle. Okay. He mentioned Jagasaw. I think he mentioned Abshire, and he mentioned Emil. He did not mention Tosh. So that's why I wanted you to bring that up.
Okay. Interesting. Other tight ends, Raritan.
Yeah, man.
Got in the end zone.
Yeah. Had a couple drops. Talking to his dad at the bar, who was a teammate of mine, Scott Raritan, who's an old lineman for us. And I'm like, man, time for Eli to put it all together. Mm-hmm. You know, I know he's had some injuries and all this other stuff, but it's like, man, time to lock in. Like the plate is at the table, put your head through the car window. Like, but yeah, I mean, Eli's exceptional. He's exceptional, but he's too talented to have some drops and such like that.
Flanagan.
Talk to Jack Larson.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a sweet kid. It's like, I want that guy to like deliver my newspaper, you know?
Dude, what did you think of him? Because he looked a lot bigger when, I mean, the last time I would have saw him, playoff game or something, sometime in the fall, and he looked fine, you know, good, but he looked thick, like, you look big.
I would say in terms of like Eli Raritan is get off the bus first guy. Mitch, and this is again, it's just through my lens. And I'm, you know, I'm like, what am I, 6'4", like 260-ish now, you know, so and broad. But like, yeah, Mitch is probably closer to like 6'4 than 6'5 to me. Maybe, I don't know, but if I'm ranking them, it's Eli, Mitch, Cooper, Jack in terms of physical impressiveness. But Jack, again, he's not even shaving yet. You know?
Yeah, what I mean? Well, that's not Jack. Jack's not, you know, Cole Kmet, Michael Mayer. Like Jack is an H-back receiving tight end. I don't know, dude. I thought he just blocking. I mean, he was blocking Junior Tua Halemaka on a couple occasions and just standing him up and caught a few passes. Like, just look confident out there for a true freshman. I like him. I like Jack Larson.
You're putting together a track record, Singer. I'm not poo-pooing, you know, your sentiment. I mean, the only miss might be Angeli, but you've got a track record. But Jack Larson is a kid that is going to find his way to the field. On the field, and I think Notre Dame fans are really going to embrace him for sure. But we love to talk about mismatches that Denbrock's able to create.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jack is necessarily a mismatch guy.
It just depends. You know, if you got a linebacker on him, I think he can toast some linebackers. You got Jack Kaiser covering.
Not our linebackers.
You got like a Jack Kaiser or something, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, but maybe not. You know, a Jalen Snead, one of the 10 fastest gun team, but
yeah. But that's about it. And like I said, because you said you were going to look at this, what a professional operation. We're like 42 minutes in. You said you were going to open up super chats or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Open up super chats here in a little bit. So yeah, if you guys have anything for Ghouls to tackle, fire away.
Yeah, fire away. My last overall thought was,
well, we got some more positions to go through.
Oh, hit me. Sorry.
Yeah, receivers.
Okay.
We touched on Great Howell, the speed there. Let's see, Chris Mitchell, Deion Colsey. Jaden Harrison didn't play.
I got the roster in front of me. Jaden Harrison didn't play. Faison obviously didn't play. Mitchell caught a move on a double stop and go against a walk-on. Not the fastest receiver, I'm told. So KK Smith is, which is what I thought.
Okay. He flashed. He looked good.
Oh, yeah, man. And again, it's like Tim Hyde and I have been begging for, dude. It's like so this year on the Patreon, I'm going to be doing film breakdown. Okay. I've got all 22 coaches film, which is going to be cool. So I'm going to be doing player evals. I'm having a former teammate of mine that's a current high school coach do X's and O's. We were talking about this, and he himself said he coached at the Division I level. Now he's a state championship high school football coach. He was like, we don't have receivers, Singer. He's like, we got guys that kind of run and catch, but we don't have like real receivers. And I know what he means. KK Smith is like a real receiver, slightly built, but just can go now, right? Like catch a bubble screen, can run by you. So I'm ecstatic about him. Micah Gilbert, like some of these true freshmen, man, they're just like, they make you shake your head. Like, how does this kid have like deltoids popping out and he's like 17 years old? And like, I saw a clip of him like walking to the sideline, narrow waist, like broad back. You know what I'm talking about? The V shape. So, I mean, he could be a star.
Dude, star.
And he's taller. He's a bigger, much bigger body than Jaden. And Jaden has the polish and Jaden has the confidence and the charisma. But, I mean, they're two separate entities.
How about Jaden Thomas?
Sorry, Jaden Greathouse. Like Jaden Greathouse seems to be, if you listen to the media, kind of earmarked as like the number one guy, just in terms of like the alpha, the way he carries himself, how he practices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Micah Gilbert, they're running that poor kid ragged. You know, he's a true freshman getting all those snaps in a spring game. So you feel for him there, but the arrow is absolutely pointing up there. Cam Williams didn't get to see him.
Yeah. Hammy, I think, or something.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, the rest is kind of a group of walk-ons and Jaden Thomas. So as excited as we were about the offense, you really only saw half of what we have to offer at the wide receiver room. We'll get into our preseason grades at some point. But I'm a little bit more optimistic this year than last, but I'm still in a little bit of a wait-and-see thing.
Okay. If Notre Dame plays more 11 personnel – Or what's been the whole thing? Is it 11 or 10 that they've been talking about that Denbrock's saying they're going to 11?
11.
Okay. So if you have three out there at receiver, which three do you really like right now?
Oh, I think they'll rotate. But to be determined, okay. Dude. Because like early in the spring, remember, it was like Bo Collins was going to be your boundary, yet to get here. Yeah. Chris Mitchell was your field guy, 4-3, blah, blah, blah. I always poo-pooed that. And then, you know, probably Greathouse in the slot. But I just think there's a lot left to be determined. I really do. You know, you heard a lot about Chris Mitchell announcing how fast he was. And then there was the hype to follow. And then I don't really hear about Chris Mitchell throughout spring necessarily. So I think it could be kind of wide open. I mean, and like, you know, Bo Collins, I like him. I think he's like, you know, we've seen guys like that before. Like we've had a couple like fourth or fifth round draft picks, like, and I can never remember their names.
Like a Kevin.
McKinley. Like
Javon McKinley.
Who's Miles.
Boykin.
Miles Boykin, that's what, you know, that kind of 6'2"-ish, 210, kind of good vertical, isn't really going to stretch the field type guy.
Skoranek, like, yeah.
I mean, Skoranek, I think, could do whatever you ask him to do. That's just his wiring. But I just think that, like, a Micah Gilbert can break some tackles and, like, just be a little bit more creative with the ball in his hand than some of those aforementioned guys, Bo Collins included.
Yeah. Gilbert looks like he's got like legit NFL.
I was just going to say that.
Yep. Like, I remember seeing him at Irish Invasion going into his senior year of high school. And I'm just going to be honest. I thought he was kind of clunky, looked like he was trending towards a tight end more than like just was kind of dropping passes. Like, I was just like, And then I saw him his senior year in Charlotte and thought I was like, who is this guy? Like, this is not the same guy I saw over the summer. Like, just tremendous down the field screens. I wanted to get into your comment about guys just running around and catching versus like true receivers. Cause to me, Gilbert can do everything as a wide receiver. Just super impressed with him. and how far along he is at the position. But I wanted to get for I wanted you to unpack that a little bit.
Let me like this is putting me on the spot. Like, if you ever watch like Terrell Owens play, Terrell Owens is a big, fast athlete that happens to play receiver because he's big and fast. But is he a real receiver? You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, Terrell Owens never seemed like he had natural hands to me. You understand?
Sure.
So it's like versus
like Braden Lindsay.
Sure.
Not a natural.
Yeah, it's like he can run, but you're talking about body control, right? You're talking about high pointing a ball. Like, a lot of these just inherent things. Like, when you watch KVA play linebacker, he does so many things that you would try to teach somebody, but either you have it or you don't, you know? And that's, I guess, the same thing would hold true. And you could blame whoever you want, whether it's like how they're coached or whatever is the case, but it's like it's finding these some of these select kids that just have an understanding and a feel for the game. And I keep wanting to say, like, dancing, it's like, it's just a natural thing that comes to him playing that position. But a lot of it's the body control. And then, yeah, just that like kind of movement skills. Like, if you watch Micah Gilbert's highlight tape, like he does difficult things and makes it look easy with the ball in his hand. And then just, again, the flat out speed. So I think you've got three kids on this team at that wide receiver room that can really run. And I never, you know, again, I was never a big Tobias Merriweather guy. He was like a run underneath it and catch it guy, Mike.
Yeah.
Just run. And that's what I always thought about Colsey. Just run. And it's like, what else can you do? Colsey didn't look bad in this game.
Yeah. 4 for 58 on 7 targets.
Dude, another one of those kids that to me, just watching, I'm like, they move. These kids are moving a little bit differently.
Colsey's moving differently?
I did. I thought he looked looser, like a looser athlete. Now, is that Landau or is that you've gotten rid of that pucker factor, Brian Kelly, Tommy Reese, jump down your throat, conservative approach to playing the game? You feel me?
Okay.
Versus these kids are letting their you know what hang and they're able to play free. So I don't know if it's the training is switched up or if the mentality, the approach to playing the actual game, but it's noticeable to an ex-player, current trainer, podcast guy.
Okay. What was that? Ex-player, trainer, podcast guy. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, I mean, training.
That was awesome. I love it.
Well, yeah, training kids. I mean, that's all it's just you're trying to teach. It's not the result of the play to anybody watching that has our kid playing a recruit or whatever. It's not the result of the play. It's how you looked making the play. They're not evaluating that you got a sack. They're evaluating how you looked getting said sack, right? It's not that you, oh, you had six catches. Like, how'd you look with those six catches?
What's that regarding?
Just evaluating a player.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're that's striving.
Something Tim and I talked about Saturday. Like, we don't care about your stats in a spring game. Like, who popped, you know?
Well, I talked about it on Patreon. It was like, John was like, what are you looking for in the spring? And I was like, the analogy that popped to mind was if you're like at an airport, walking through an airport, and like, if you see a beautiful woman in a crowd of like 200-400 people, it's like, they jump out at you. It's like, okay, well, that's a beautiful woman. And it's not a creepy thing, but you can acknowledge like, oh, well, that's a really pretty lady. And it's like watching the spring game, you're just looking for things that jump out at you. I'm not really evaluating. Yeah. The play, I'm evaluating how they move as they get better and better with more experience.
I like how we're ending with the quarterbacks, but we're going to running backs next, Mike. I'll just throw my thoughts at you.
Sure.
I love Jabran Payne. I know he had the fumble. It's okay. We'll forgive him. Fumbles happen with running backs from time to time, but 10 carries for 58 yards for him. I just love his vision and shiftiness. I think he's a great third down back.
Keep those stats up, would you?
Yeah, I got him up. I honestly could see Jabran Payne playing in the league just with – you can trust him. I know I just talked about how he had a fumble, but just someone you can trust in pass protection, can just kind of do everything, he's a decent receiver. Loved Jabran Payne. I thought Aeneas looked good. He had that a nice little kickoff return to start the game. 10 rushes, 39 yards, touchdown. Jeremiah Love, 7 rushes, 36 yards, touchdown. And then led that blue team in receiving, tied with Raritan, 5 receptions, 41 yards. And at least in terms of receptions, I should say. And then Devin Ford played a little bit of running back, which I thought was interesting. And if you have any thoughts on that, might have just been out of necessity for a spring game. But
they were doing their best. And that's when you go to Kenny had ostensibly the third string running back in Payne. And then, Steve had Jeremiah Love to start the game. I think Jeremiah Love's our probably the most talented kid on the team.
Yeah.
Just in terms of some of these young men have been touched by God. They're just Jeremiah Love is special. I thought maybe he played a little bit too much in this game, but maybe that was due to necessity. But Payne looked good, man. I mean, he's a physical kid, and that was a kid that I might have said at some point last year that he might end up needing to hit the portal because where is he going to play? I do believe that Coach McCullough likes him. I think that's kind of his boy for some whatever reason. Might remind McCullough of himself as a player. In talking to Coach McCullough, that rotation stable, three, four guys getting carries, that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Not going to go anywhere. And he kind of got into how to spin that in recruiting, which I thought was interesting.
Everyone has a role, Mike.
Yeah. Well,
that's what he pitches. That's that.
But you want to be the man at the same time. So I'm some 5-star running back and I want to be the man and I want to win a Heisman and I want to rush for 2,000 yards. And it's but in so doing, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot as far as your NFL career goes. You want to go into the league. And that's what McCullough was talking about with his career.
Not too many miles on you.
Yeah. You still want to go in with tread on the tires. So you can get to that second contract, what have you.
That's a really good pitch. I like it.
Well, yeah, it's again, I know you want to be the man, but it's we got to strike a balance here. Yeah. Go win the Heisman, but then now you've got 300 carries 2 years consecutively. Not everybody's Derrick Henry out there, right?
Yeah.
Aeneas Williams is thick. He's thick in real life, dude. He's listed at 210 or whatever he is. He's much thicker looking. And then Kedron Young is real thick.
Yeah.
He's jacked.
Yeah.
Maybe too jacked. The type of kid that could look at a dumbbell and put on 5 pounds of muscle. So, yeah, you could clip that, Singer.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, there it
is. That's my new thumbnail, right? So let's just get to these quarterbacks already, can we?
All right. We're 57 minutes in.
So
what do you got?
I'm not anti CJ Carr. I think that CJ Carr and Kenny Minchie are both more talented than Steve Angeli. I don't care who plays because people like to, get me riled up. And sometimes I take the bait way too early for that. I am critical of the CJ Carr narrative that's being spun. Not critical of the kid, the play, anything like that. The narrative I find a little bit irresponsible.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Just people crowning him.
Oh, dude, first day of spring ball, they were talking about the command of the offense. It's he's warming up, dude. You guys are filming him warming up, talking about the command of the offense. So I'm not – and it's not CJ's fault. I understand the cachet. I understand the lineage. I understand the 2-year. We talk about this a lot on Patreon. fans have had 2 years to date and fall in love with CJ Carr because he was an early commit, right? And we're watching his star rankings with bated breath, whereas Kenny Minchie, due to the Dante Moore thing, just slipped in the back door. And, like, nobody really acknowledged him. They were both more or less equally ranked. Kenny had a quiet commitment, committed to Pittsburgh, jumped over to us. They're both very talented.
Okay. All right, now let's get in, like, the play. Let's put the narrative, the media, let's put that crap aside, Mike. You said
no,
your piece
it's not
there.
Crap. I got one more thought on the narrative.
All right, then get to it.
I'm going to make a tinfoil hat, but here's my tinfoil hat segment.
All right, you're going full cam here.
I think there's a potential that the CJ Carr narrative, you know, he's being pushed to the front by media, you know, oh, the way the ball comes out of his hand. Sure. Might that CJ Carr narrative be a counter to the lack of having Riley Leonard? So as opposed to us focusing on the concern, frankly, for Riley Leonard not practicing, you know, big game in College Station in a matter of months, might we say, you know, don't look over here at Riley on a scooter. Look over here at the shiny new CJ Carr thing. It's too easy. That's my tinfoil hat statement. But if you feel me on that?
Who did you say is kind of pushing that?
Oh, I think the sort of the legacy Notre Dame media, absolutely. Like they walk out of a practice and be like, oh, I haven't seen this since. It's like, all right, dude, it's irresponsible. Like, you know, and again, looking at the spring game, I thought he played great. I thought Kenny played great. I thought Steve played so-so. I think both quarterbacks are good, but one seems to be talked about more. And that's why I'm kind of doing the – I'm not saying Kenny's the guy. I don't feel as strongly for Kenny as I did like a Tyler Buchner, although I think I'm always going to be a pro-upside guy. Why not Kenny is all about why is he always the one that's assumed to go into the portal? You know, Steve Angeli could be just as likely to go into the portal as a Kenny Minchie.
Yeah.
And that's why I was just like, hang on, this kid's got a ton of talent, was a top 10 quarterback coming out of high school, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I just want to say I'm not critical at all of CJ Carr. Love the room. I find the narrative a little irresponsible.
We'll see what happens this week. Like post spring ball ending. No one hit the portal today, but yeah. I think like tomorrow, Wednesday, might be when you start seeing it. I think like Mondays when the players have meetings with the coaches and stuff like that. But Notre Dame's got to lose three more to get to 85. And they had that Rice DB transfer on campus last week.
We need a punter.
Yeah, I think if they bring in a punter, it'll be a walk-on guy, non-scholarship. It would be some Ivy League kid like they've been doing.
I think there's any – well, you can't – you're in the media. You can't elaborate, but – I mean, just even looking at the chat, all of the discourse about Carr, no, Minchie, no, this, no, Steve. It's like, it's all a distraction from we got a quarterback wearing sneakers still because he can't practice. To me, that's
I think I that think. That's a, I think that's a, just a total happenstance, dude.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then why would day one of spring practice, we're talking about the command of the offense?
You just said like how much everyone's loved Steve or CJ for so long. And he's just, dude, every May 1st, I'm hitting 5 years on the Notre Dame beat, dude. Every single spring, including Drew Pine's one practice in 2020, it's all about who's the new freshman. It's always, that's just what it's been, dude. From Buchner, Pine, Angeli. Okay. Minchie, Carr.
Let's talk about the game. I charted. I went back last night. And again, I think they both looked good. I think they, and I'm saying they, we're talking Kenny and we're talking CJ. They can both spin it. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Who has a better arm? Who has a better release? You're right. I mean, I don't really care to get into that. I think that CJ adds an element of escapability, which is something I've been begging for, you know, like spontaneity, creativeness, your play breaks down. And Den Brock agrees. You need that. CJ was like a guy that kept his eyes downfield as he kind of rolled out, whereas Kenny was kind of looking to put his foot in the ground and run. So two ways of being spontaneous. Kenny's tucking it and running it. CJ's trying to have his eyes downfield. Which one works best in a playoff scenario to be determined. But Kenny throws a pretty ball.
Yeah.
This is a perfect pass.
Yeah, touchdown to Gilbert. That was
it's perfect.
A pretty good one. Coverage wasn't terrible either. I mean, clean pocket, but yeah.
No, Minchie, that's, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
What'd you think of my take when I was talking about Minchie and what Tim and I said? Just like Tim was like, man, he scares the crap out of me. He did have the, you know, sack fumble, I believe, and then he had the pick. But he also has those flashes and like him running the football. He looked fantastic, Mike, and his escapability and just kind of, you know, just moving around the pocket. He looked really good. Like, he's a true dual threat guy. So, yeah.
I'm going to save Den Brock stuff for Patreon. Hopefully you can respect that. But
I'm just asking you to talk about the game, Mike.
Yeah, I think yeah, so well, if you're asking me about, and I'm not gonna put words in Tim's mouth, but I've texted with him for 3 years running. Tim likes consistency because he's a coach. So I think Tim's gonna tend to lean more conservatively, right? So I fully understand that he scares the crap out of you, but if you were to start a CJ Carr next year, if you were to start an Angeli, I mean, even an Angeli or a Kenny Minchie, there's going to be boneheaded stuff that happens. It's just, there's going to be stupid turnover plays as these kids learn and take their lumps. So that just comes down to like, who's got the highest upside, you know? I like Kenny. I like them both. I like them both. It seemed like CJ Carr probably executed the offense, quote unquote, better in terms of like short passes, quick reads, getting the ball out. But does that mean that he's a better quarterback? Does that mean he's a better throw of the ball? I don't have that answer, right? And I do think that a lot of CJ Carr's hay was made in the second half. And as somebody that's played in a handful of spring games, you do kind of take your foot off the gas in the second half, like walk-ons are rolling in, et cetera. So both made some bad – I mean, Kenny had two bad plays where it was just kind of like he got pressured and he, you know, he probably would have ate the ball. Typically, you teach him to eat the ball. You know, defense won this rep. But it's a spring game and he's trying to show out and he's trying to make a play. So just because he did that and made a boneheaded throw in a spring game, does that mean he's going to do it in live fire in an actual scheduled game? Who knows? CJ made a couple bad throws. His first vertical pass should have been picked off by KVA, and then he threw a bad ball to Colsey that, you know, he had the wherewithal to break up. So both quarterbacks made some questionable throws, as they should, but I did not walk out of that game being like, one is better than the other. Yeah. I thought they both played well. And I think it'd be, again, irresponsible to be like, oh, CJ Carr set the world on fire. I think they both played well.
Yeah,
and some of it's just taste, whatever your taste is.
So most of us are still in a pretty impressionable stage when it comes to Minchie and Carr. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of us, I should say. Maybe some people are already very much bought in on Minchie. Many already very much bought in on Carr, but someone like me is like, all right, like before I have super strong takes about either of them, I want to see the spring game, see how they do, continue to kind of hold a strong opinion. Whereas Angeli, what do you think about Angeli? Nothing's really. He could have thrown, you know, 600 yards and six touchdowns or, incompleted every single pass. Your opinion on Angeli's not changing based on that spring game. Is that kind of how you feel too?
Yeah, I mean, you know my opinion of Steve. Great kid, poised, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't seem to be processing as quickly. I mean, it's like CJ Carr is moving from read to read quicker than Steve appears to be. And again, I don't pretend to know the reads. I'm not in the meeting rooms or whatever. But he missed a, I mean, his first ball to Eli was an easy completion, 18 yards downfield, threw it low. I don't believe that Steve gives you the element of spontaneity, being able to like take off, that maybe a Den Brock might prefer based off of who he had at quarterback last year and Jaden Daniels. So it's just, and then you can't talk about quarterbacks, these four quarterbacks, without talking about the portal. And it's like, oh, well, Kenny, most of what you read is that Kenny's going to find his way to the portal. And I'm like, for the future of the room, this is my hot take, but it's like, might it be best if Steve hit the portal? Because Steve is kind of like, has a lower ceiling than a Kenny and a Carr do. I think we would all kind of agree with that, but Marcus loves experience, and you know, Steve started a game, so that's a mountain that can't be moved. So Steve continuing to get those two reps is taking away developmental reps from a Kenny or a Carr. So that's like my hot take, is like, when I really look at the room now, well, shoot, you don't want to go into the season with no experience behind Riley Leonard. It's like, well, but again, Steve's played one game and has a low ceiling. And if it was a live fire, high stakes, you know, elite SEC team, I'd rather have an inexperienced quarterback that can make something happen on his own, create, than I would a check down guy that can't run away.
I don't think any of them are going to leave.
Me neither. Me neither.
I really don't. All right, here's the two that are not going to leave. Riley Leonard and CJ Carr. Those guys are just not. Take it out. It's just not going to happen. Hell, Leonard is more likely to leave than Carr. Carr's not going anywhere. Leonard, if something crazy happens, he's not going anywhere. Steve ain't going anywhere. So what you don't go right now as in Steve's position. Where are you going to go? You're not going to play this year if you go somewhere. Unless you want to go play at, you know, Jacksonville State or some FCS program. I don't think Steve wants to do that. I think he wants to play at this level. So Steve ain't going anywhere. If someone were to go, in my opinion, it would be Kenny. But I don't think he's going either. I think that he's happy with where he's at right now. I think they all stay, Mike. I think you're going to have all four for a year. And then in 2025, it's going to be an absolute war. And it's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait. But yeah, it's just not. I don't think any of them are going to leave.
I like that take more than the presumption that Kenny's going to be the one that dips. So I'm with you on that one. I mean, let's pray that that's the case. But
it will be amazing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a good situation to have. I'm not pro Kenny. I'm not pro CJ. I think they both played well. I might have a preference for Kenny over CJ, just because I just think he can create a little bit more. But yeah, it's a good problem to have, man. It's a good problem to have. Yeah. I just the only other thought about the game was, I felt like Kenny saw a little bit more in his face pressure than the other quarterbacks did. That's just what it felt like. And again, where I saw Anthony Knapp trying to block RJ Oben when Kenny's under center, I wouldn't say that that's a fair deal. Now, internet trolls are going to be like, well, CJ didn't see the pressure because he rolled out. So it's like Kenny tries to get loose up the middle, CJ's eyes downfield rolling out. I like them both. It's just whoever Den Brock prefers, right? Whoever makes that decision.
Yeah. I loved all three. Like, that was my thought. Like, Steve started a little slow, thought he came on nicely. Carr just kind of came out, had that first incompletion. It was just darts. Minshew, some downs, but boy, like, just even that first incompletion that he threw, that little, it was that little off to the right.
It was a drop. It was a drop, to be clear.
Was it?
Mikey Gilbert dropped. Third and seven, Gilbert dropped it. It's fine. He's a true freshman.
But just the velocity that the ball came out of his hands, like, oh, my goodness. So,
last thought on quarterbacks in general. Either way, at some point, you're going to have – a young quarterback that's starting for us, unless we, God forbid, we go to the portal again next year.
No, I don't think so. That's going to happen.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm just saying stuff is going to happen.
Like, I can't wait, Mike.
But I'm just saying, like, oh, he's going to fumble. He's going to have a pick six. Stuff is going to happen. These kids need reps to develop. And, like, it's just – if you're a play caller and it's like, well, I look across the field and I'm like, well, holy smokes, man. We had, like, a top five-ish defense. And it's like, so if I have a quarterback that might turn the ball over – 1.5 times a game, his first 5, 6, 7 starts. Like, I think we can absorb that blow because we have this elite defense. So might you swing for the fences versus I think that Notre Dame fans are accustomed to like that conservative quarterback play.
Who's your head coach though? A defensive guy, defensive guys usually don't want to put their defense in that position though.
Whose decision is it?
I mean, it's ultimately Marcus's.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I mean, I would just say I think a Denbrock would have more. I think Denbrock would have much more influence than a Parker would in terms of picking his man.
Yeah.
So a good situation to have. Endless. It's this quarterback room. It is just the gift that keeps on giving for YouTube guys.
Yeah. All right. This was from earlier. Self Johnny said, good meeting you, Mike, at the Legends thing. Thanks for the photo and autograph on that helmet.
My pleasure. Yeah. So I was at Legends because I couldn't get into the game. It was a ton of fun.
Imagine just being there and then Goolsby walks in. Like, oh, damn. So how about that? Adam says, can Bowen and KVA play together by midseason? This is interesting.
Listen, great question. Met Adam at the tailgate, him and his wife. I would say with an Al Golden, absolutely, because the dude's creative. And he's got, you know, 40 years of coaching knowledge. Yes, I would say he could create a package where that could happen. Why would you do that? I don't really know. But to answer the question, you could say yes. And again, Golden has said as much that he doesn't care to be like a highly ranked, like run stopping defense. And I would think that if you put those two playing next to one another, you're like, yeah, if we play Navy or something, maybe you do it like in a game like that. Just two super disciplined, instinctual players. That could work against like a Navy. But generally speaking, I don't know why you would need, unless it was a goal line thing. I think situationally you could do it, especially with Golden. KVA can play. KVA can play Will more so than Bowen.
Un momento, Mike. I just have a couple of questions to ask the YouTube audience here. Mm. Are you guys potentially a displaced corporate executive, maybe wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, you're going to want to give Andy Ludeke a call. He's a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using Andy's expertise, he's going to help you find your American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So give Andy a call. Put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. Give Andy a call at 404-973-9901. Again, that's 404-973-9901, myperfectfranchise.net. Longtime sponsor of Blue and Gold YouTube. Thank you very much to My Perfect Franchise. Chief Brody says, offense looked coherent for once. Love the show, boys, as always. Again, there's the context of it being a spring game, but you know, I feel like I've been fooled before, and here I am just going in again on being optimistic about the offense, Mike. But damn it, do I feel good about the group and, you know, taking into account that it was a mismatch O-line. You didn't have your quarterback one. You didn't have Jadarian Price, who might be your running back one. You didn't have Faison. You didn't have Jaden Thomas.
Yeah.
Bo Collins, Mike, I heard that he is – looked fantastic. He's not able to practice, but just and you know, throwing the ball in the backyard kind of thing with the quarterback, whatever. I hear that he looks really darn good. There's probably a couple others that I'm missing. Jaden Harrison, you know, Mitchell Evans.
Dude. Well, Coach Brown, yeah, I think Coach Brown is on record. He wants like a six-man rotation. So, yeah, you feel better about the room. You feel better about the skill. You feel, again, marginally better about the speed, and it's just going to keep – and that's just why Coach Freeman's here, to kind of change the look of the way that the roster is configured. Your question mark is the offensive line, which just the last thought that's pinging around in my brain. If I am a little bit concerned, because Texas A&M does have some dudes on the edges, if I am a little bit concerned about like pass protection with an offensive line, that's just another reason to have an athlete at quarterback that can get himself out of trouble, because stuff does break down. The better the team is, the more things are going to break down. It's not, this isn't tic-tac-toe.
So I'm a little distracted. I have the YouTube chat pulled up, like the actual YouTube stream. And there is a thing where I can go to channel activity and I can see every comment that someone's ever had on our YouTube shows and how many times I've deleted their messages or timed them out from the chat. So this is amazing.
You have a usual suspect or what?
Well, now I can know if they're a usual suspect or not, because otherwise there's just so many people in here. I don't know. You know, like Chief Brody, some of these names are very familiar, but others are not. Wicked Bronco Productions is certainly a familiar name. Thank you for the super chats here. Says there's no way at all Carr's not the quarterback for 2025. He should have been a consensus five-star. Promise me I'm not overreacting. 12-0 season incoming. So, yeah, Tim says he likes Carr for 2025.
Well, that's the safe bet, because again, there's a lot of cachet that comes along with the last name, and I mean, it's what people want, for sure. So, but is there, yes, there's a way that he couldn't be your starter in 2025. I mean, it's not.
I'm just, Mike, I'm just so excited that who the hell knows? Like, I don't know. And it's exciting. It's exciting to, like, last year, we're like, yeah, they're probably going to go the portal again. The year before that, figured they were going to go in the portal. It's just nice.
Here's what I think. What I think about Carr and like my sort of comp at thus far, and like holistically looking at the young man, is like a JJ McCarthy, who apparently is going to be like a top 10 pick.
Cannot fathom that. Number two is possible now.
So we wouldn't have thought that, but it's like, okay, because he can kind of make plays and he executes and he's very surgical out there. I'm sure he has leadership in the way CJ does, plus athlete, all of that. But Michigan had 18 dudes go to the combine. So it's like, and again, I'm just talking about like, man, we're up, backs are against the wall. We need a dude that can make a play. That's what I'm looking for, whoever it is. And it's like, I don't know if JJ McCarthy was ever put in that spot where he had to put the team on his back because the surrounding cast was so strong.
Another one from Wicked Bronco Production. Can we talk about how much of a unit Sean Sevillano is? Mike, you want to touch on him real quick?
Loved the dude. Loved him out of high school. Low three-star, whatever he was. Loved him. Super slippery for being like 330. And I've heard a lot of commentary about like, oh, he needs to get in shape. F that, dude. Let him be 330. And like there was a play where you saw in the spring game near the end of the game, CJ Carr rolls out to his left and ultimately just kind of runs out of bounds. And who's running him down but Big Bear Sean Sevillano, dude. Sean Big Bear Sevillano is running him down at 330. And I'm just telling you, he's more than just a plug. He's more than just a fire hydrant. Just you see 330 and you think he's just a double A gap guy. I'm telling you, he can move. He's slippery. So I love him.
And then he says, don't want to get ahead of myself with the receiver room, but it looks as talented as it's ever been. Collins, Cam, Harrison, who plays. So.
Didn't we say this last year, though? That's my only.
That's what I said, Mike, but this just seems.
Different this time.
It does.
Why? Let's talk about it. Why?
I'm not
saying it's not, but I just want your
two cents. There's a lot more names on it, first of all. It's a bigger group. It's a pretty long list of guys. You pulling it up?
No, I've got it. I mean, I know the names.
I feel like there's a longer list, and it's a little bit more proven, right? Because last year's you're hanging your hat a good bit on Merriweather.
But hey, I'm putting you on the spot. You got the roster in front of you?
No, but I can.
So if we're going to play along with Coach Brown and his six-man rotation, we have, in terms of names.
This is tough.
You got, I'll buy you some time. You got Colsey, and I'm gonna omit walk-ons. You got Colsey, Harrison, the kick returner from Marshall, Faison, Chris Mitchell, KK Smith, Micah Gilbert, Cam Williams, Great House, Jaden Thomas, and then you have Bo Collins coming in. So that's 10.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's Yeah. So I need 6.
Okay.
So we're gonna say Bo Collins.
I'm typing my list out. I got 5 right now. This is
hit me.
Give me a second. All right. I'm gonna say there's 5 for me. And Wicked Bronco Productions, thank you again for the super chat. Faison is going to play. Like, he's going to be one of the guys. I think Faison and Great House, there's 2 for sure. Bo Collins, definite for me. Never mind, there's my 6. I forgot about 1. Okay, so Faison, Great House, Bo Collins, Gilbert. Gilbert's 4 for me. Jaden Thomas, 5, Mitchell, 6. Now, injuries can very much play a role, right? So a Cam Williams, if Deon Colsey is here in the fall, which I'm not saying he's transferring anything, like I have no idea, but like Deon Colsey could then like step in, be more of a guy. The one that I think would be like a 6.5 is Jaden Harrison. I think that he might get like 10 snaps a game. And when he committed, Notre Dame sources had told me that he was going to be like a quality over quantity with his touches. It might not be a ton, but special teams and get him the ball here and there. So that would be like my 6.5, but I have a hard time seeing it being 6.
Okay.
Because that's leaving out KK Smith. Like that's, and Colsey, a healthy Colsey. Like
what Coach Brown said, man. So let's go with your 6 because I like it, right? Fine. Okay. Faison, I agree. What a unique kid, by the way. Let's not gloss over, like, this kid's a full-time lacrosse player.
He's a freak.
Dude, he's never even, like, sprained a fingernail. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got kids with soft tissue here. Like, the kid, it's
hot take. Hot take. His brother, Dylan, who's committed in the 2026 class, not even a football recruit before Notre Dame offered and committed. He might be just as good, if not better, down the line.
Those kids were raised right, and they have like a tremendous amount of self-belief. It's really cool. So great. I agree. Just to reiterate, Faison, Great House, Bo Collins, Micah Gilbert, Jaden Thomas for sure, Mitchell. I don't really trust Jaden Thomas anymore, which breaks my heart to say that, but it's like, dude, he's always hurt. So, but if you just go with those 6, and sure, we're excited about Cam, sure, we're excited about Harrison and KK, right? Sure. Sure. But if we look at Faison was on the team last year, Great House was on the team last year, Jaden Thomas was on the team last year. So then you're excited about a kid in Collins that we haven't seen yet, a true freshman in Gilbert, and a kid in Mitchell that we haven't really seen yet, you know? So it's like the room is the same, but it's also different. But it's not like, you know, a complete makeover. It's not like we demolished the house and built a new one. So it's like it's the same room.
Did though.
You're a little bit more excited than you were.
One of the storylines was the mass exodus at the receiver room. You lost Tyree, Merriweather,
Rico.
The addition of, did.
Yeah, the addition of Cam Williams. I think we've said this before. The addition of Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert supersedes the exit of Rico and Tobias for sure.
Yeah, I think the emergence of Faison makes Rico. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, Rico, we you and I loved Rico, but
love Rico. It's okay.
Can he run like a Cam or like a Gilbert? Nah. And I know he was just another slot guy. The coaches trusted him. He's coached well in high school, would compete for the ball. But, you know, Rico physically was never a difference maker in the way that I think Gilbert and Cam
loved his mindset. Yeah. Liked a lot, but yeah.
So anyways, man. Yeah. I mean, like I said, be optimistic about the wide receiver room, but we have been saying this the last 2 years.
I know. So dude, do you remember the Duke game?
Yeah.
That was tough. Everyone was hurt. So just keep this damn room healthy. Like, just keep the receivers are, if the receivers stay healthy, I think it'll be a really good
game. Hey, this is just Harrison, plantar fasciitis. Thanks a lot, Under Armour. That's not going anywhere. As somebody that's had some feet problems, not going anywhere. Cam Williams is, you know, dinged up with a hamstring, and Thomas is dinged up with a hamstring. So that's 3 out of your 10. So I'm just saying, we're still an offensive and defensive line driven program. I'm excited, but I still think you're maybe a couple years out until you see like the full assemblage of talent at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So,
and I told myself I was not going to get too hyped again about the receivers after the Tobias letdown, but here I am, Mike.
Hope springs eternal.
There you go. Closing. That hoodie is badass.
Yeah. So spent quite a bit of time at the linebacker this past weekend, and I tweeted something, and they were like, I went over there and got a free hoodie. So this is my, you know, promoting the linebacker. But yeah, spent all
weekend. A linebacker.
Never went there as a student, but as an alum, I've been there more than I should.
Huh. Okay. Well, Mike, fantastic show. We'll link up in a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. We'll do another one. I'm traveling a good bit the next couple weeks, and then we'll do a show. I had to move my Wednesday show to tomorrow with Tim Hyde. So 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow with Tim Hyde, and Sobel and Horka will be on too. So it'll be the four of us. I'll probably sit back, kick my feet up, let those guys chit chat and talk about 4,817 other topics. Tim Hyde number. There you go.
Right.
So it'll be good to hear from Tim. Did you get
that bingo card made yet?
Dude, a lot of people talked about it last week. Mike, where is it? I didn't have it. You know, I'm traveling Wednesday to Friday. I just don't know if I'm going to have any time to make the bingo card. But I got enough emails and DMs from people with content for it. So I just might have to put it together. So
either way. All right, let's get out of here, man.
All right, folks. Really appreciate you guys tuning in to today's show. Hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel for more content. BlueandGold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame football and recruiting coverage. Special offer for YouTube audience and podcast audience. $1 for 2 months. This is for new subscribers when you use the promo code UND1. Check out Goolsby's Patreon with John Kennedy. It's a link in Mike's Twitter bio. At Mike Goolsby 41. Please check that out if you want. If you just can't get enough Mike Goolsby and John Kennedy, check that out.
We're doing there. Video breakdown, or we got an interactive chat feature too. So it'll be good, man. It should be fun for the – yeah, but if you can't get enough of my mug here, come over there.
Folks, appreciate you guys for tuning in. And as always, we will catch you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.